Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, Trump, all murdered. This recording is an extemporaneous examination of the six important elements, which include who, what, why, when, where, how. These will be explored in chronological order, therefore beginning with Jesus, then Mary Baker Eddy, then Trump. Although it appears that the reasons were very much alike, the methods employed and the success thereof have been unique in each one of the three situations. The principles of Christian Science, which by definition includes the inspired writings of the Bible, as well as writings by Mary Baker Eddy and writings of others that have been students of the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings. Other individuals will be touched upon that joined in the common theme of the three mentioned, which are the primary focus of this recording. Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, is the textbook of Christian Science. The first 13 chapters are summarized in chapter 14, entitled Recapitulation, and chapters 15 through 18 are under the section titled Key to the Scriptures. Chapter 14 being the summary of chapters 1 through 13, entitled Recapitulation, begins with what is believed to be the most important thing to strive to understand about all of Christian Science, and that is the definition of God. Also, chapter 12, which is entitled Christian Science Practice, begins with a very vivid lesson about love, which includes forgiveness. This strongly recommends that if one is going to practice the principles of Christian Science, they need to begin with love and forgiveness. Also, that same chapter, Christian Science Practice, ends with a statement about being a law unto ourselves. Keeping these general thoughts in the forefront of our guidance, let us see where thought leads to exploring the events that cover Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and Trump. One must keep in thought that the three mentioned, although they are targets of evil, the solution does not include personality. Mary Baker Eddy has stated that the evil can be identified by name, but one must be careful not to dwell on the symptoms or detailed descriptions, but that the focus must be on the solution in an impersonal manner. Keeping those guidelines in mind, let us see where thought leads us to exploring exactly what has taken place. Let us seek the truth and see where it leads. To begin with, it seems appropriate to realize that the human system, so-called as it seems to be, is guided by a theme which resists change. The strong resistance to change can be witnessed by the evil of self-justification. That's a part of ego, self-will, and any other description that tries to avoid being corrected. Once one is going down a path, whether it is good or bad in human terms, it is easier to continue on that path than it is to change the direction. Unfortunately, the entire human system is under the universal belief of the ups and downs of human nature, and not the pure reality of what spirit is, which is flawless substance, but more under the belief of what matter appears to be, which is substance with tremendous flaws from beginning to end. Mary Baker Eddy states that we are constantly bombarded with the influence of all of these mortal thoughts in every direction one looks. And she points out the emphatic importance of having a model and being attracted to that model constantly through one's desire to improve their spiritual understanding. Chapter 14, which is titled Recapitulation, begins with the definition of God. That is telling us that the entire summary of chapters 1 through 13, which is the entirety of Science and Health, exclusive of the second section, which is the key to the scriptures, can be summarized in one very important question, or rather the most important question of all the questions and answers in that chapter 14, which is the summary, is, what is God? If one is going to start with a model that they need to keep in the forefront of their thought continuously, that is it. The definition is very simple, very short, but full of everything that includes what God is, if we analyze it in depth. What is God? God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 115, which is the chapter on science, theology, and medicine, under the section which is science, she gives another definition of God, slightly different. God, divine principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. Except for the word divine, which is the first word of the definition, the others are the same identical 7 synonymous terms for God, except in slightly different order. Nothing is out of order in science and health. So the reason for the order being different is revealed as one studies in more depth. The definition of good is provided, and that is God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Those four words with a beginning of omni is telling us that all of these things, the four omnis, means that there is only one and it is all. So there's no competition or opposition. So again, if we want to mold the model for us to be using as our guide in thought, speech, and action, those are four wonderful words to include. Also in the glossary, under Lamb of God, it is defined as the spiritual idea of love, self-immolation, innocence and purity, sacrifice. The word God is used throughout the entire textbook, and of course prolific also in the Bible. God is defined in the Bible as the great I Am. I am that I am. So if one is going to think about an individual as being I am this or I am that, whether it's self or someone else, they better be thinking about God being that I am. So one better be careful about who they're assigning those two words to. Very common for all of us to use I am in a sentence applying to ourselves. But is that the real model that we're referring to? Thought of the topic on this recording occurred to me. I had no idea where it would lead, but so far it is guided to do what has been stated here. So let's look at these three characters and a few other related ones that have followed the same theme in their lives. Jesus, we know, according to historical records, was born of a woman, Mary, and without the assistance of a father. So therefore, Jesus started with a more pure beginning than anyone else that we know of, except for a couple of characters in the Bible, which did not have a mother or a father, but just appeared. And we know there were some very special things that occurred during his childhood. And we know that he was attacked, even as a child, when he would talk in a temple. And in later years, he also was attacked because he did not have the education that some of them believed was necessary in order to talk about the topics that he was discussing. John the Baptist was one that was seeking truth and to live a more spiritual life. So around Jesus' time, he was one of the early ones that was attacked and he was terminated. Jesus had to transport himself also away from those who were aggressive and were pursuing him for evil purposes. What was the theme that was angering other people? The theme that Jesus followed, which was so abrasive. He certainly was a prime example of love and forgiveness. In fact, one of the few that was at the cross was Mary Magdalene. And she was the one that is referred to in the beginning of the chapter on Christian Science practice about love and forgiveness. He expressed sincere love and forgiveness to her. And she certainly did express love and admiration for Jesus by debasing herself as being a total servant by washing his feet. The same thing Jesus did as being a servant to mankind by washing the feet of his disciples. This wasn't just a humbling act, but in those days, the roads were not paved, and many times the walkway was on a dirt road, and the whole bottom of one's legs and feet would have been very dusty and dirty. So it was a kind thing to do for a guest when they entered your home. Simon, however, who was the host of Jesus when Mary Magdalene walked in, did not even do that courtesy for Jesus. So what was Jesus doing besides being loving and forgiving that was so abrasive? Think about what people believed to be true. They believed matter to be real. They believed that their hierarchy should be respected and yielded to in the churches. Daniel was another example that did not yield to the hierarchy because the king was supposed to be the one admired and prayed to like a god, but Daniel would not do that. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he continued to pray to what he believed to be the one and only God, and it was not a human. So he certainly was under the attack and the attempt to be murdered. And we know what happened there. He totally rebuffed the lions and came out without a scratch. Look at John, the disciple of Jesus. He was put in boiling oil. He survived. There's no record of him ever being deceased. Therefore, he must have ascended. The ones that are attacked most aggressively are attacked for two reasons. One is everyone felt inferior and therefore were tremendously envious and jealous. The other is that the one they were envious and jealous about was someone who was against what they believed for their whole lives to be true. They were against the established thought of the age. When Jesus went up on the mount, he took three disciples with him and asked them to watch while he went on up by himself further. When he came back, they were all three asleep. Mary Baker Eddy had a team of students that lived with her, which she had personally invited to be there to give them advanced training in Christian Science. And she had them constantly on a system whereby they would be watching. She selected 39 topics from her writings in the Bible and they were to study those 39 topics every single day. Those are on our website, the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which is mbeinstitute.org. Just look in the menu, and they should be studied every day. That is watching. That is guarding thought. That is enabling us to better follow the model that we should be molding for our own spiritual advancement. Jesus realized that the world was not ready for him to stay any longer. He said, I have more to tell you, but you're not ready to do it. You're not ready to listen. You're not ready to accept it and live it. So he left. He did it by way of ascension. After he suffered the crucifixion, which likely would not have been experienced had the three people he took with him up on the mountain to watch. They didn't watch. They didn't guard their thought. They didn't watch over the world of Christianity to assist him. And so he showed, after his resurrection, that the body was not changed, so that people could really not further believe that death gives you harmony. There's no harmony on the other side of death. You take with you the same thoughts that you went into death with, the same body. And he proved that in the probationary period after his resurrection. So he had to attain another level before he was ready to ascend. What happened to Mary Baker Eddy? As soon as she went through the experience of death, at least in visible form, her own church did everything possible to erase her from the memory of everyone in Christian Science. Number one, they took the picture that she had placed in her final edition of Science and Health. They had it removed and republished the book without her picture. They made other changes in the book. They convinced a court of law that even though the manual stated that certain things required her signature in order to continue, they convinced a court of law that it certainly must have been her intention not to have put those restrictions in there. However, she was guided with everything she did, and those restrictions requiring her personal signature or personal approval were in there for the very specific reason she did not want those activities continued after her passing on. What she believed to be one of her more loyal students, she commissioned him with the duty of exposing the mental murder by the church. And she stated that if I pass on, it will be because I've been mentally murdered. But he wouldn't do it for like something like 30 or 35 years before he had the courage to do it. Which means that when he was ready to leave this earth, he thought he had nothing to lose. Up until then, he was fearful. He was not like Daniel. He didn't stick with the truth and stick with God. He carried fear with him for 30 or 35 years. He would not stick up for the person that enabled him to advance his spirituality. The house that she loved so much was burned down. Statues were destroyed. A pyramid that was made out of granite was destroyed. It had very special significance. They excommunicated everyone they could find any kind of an excuse for, which included not agreeing with the church, or let's say the hierarchy of the church. Jesus, as of 325 AD, they had a council of Nicaea, which basically destroyed the whole history of Jesus. They twisted it, turned it, established Christianity as a state religion, totally removed the spiritual nature of Christianity. And that's why Mary Baker Eddy said that Christianity had been lost since that period of time, since 325 AD. She brought healing back into Christianity. Luther tried to do it several hundred years before Mary Baker Eddy. Didn't work. He couldn't do it. Mary Baker Eddy said that we won't be able to practice Christianity if the Christian Scientists don't watch. She said we'll be lost in dark ages that was much further and longer endured and more severe than the period of time from 325 AD until she came along. What was so bad about Mary Baker Eddy? She was a wonderful example of love. But what else was the problem? The problem was, she said, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind. Not brain, not nerves, not bones and blood, but infinite mind. There's no life, truth, and intelligence in matter. That could not be understood. Einstein finally got the idea not long before he passed on, and the statements he made are on our website on every page up at the top in the header. He said, "Blessed art thou," referring to Mary Baker Eddy. He said, "Because everything that is in this book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures." And he said that Christian Science is provable. He said it's a provable science if you follow the principles. He witnessed his friend, Dr. Underwood, who had been on the Atomic Energy Commission, and everyone involved in the experiments they were doing, passed on, except for him, as a result of radiation. And Einstein witnessed his healing. And that's what attracted Einstein to Mary Baker Eddy and her works. He said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. Back in those days, a woman could not own property, could not vote. And we know in Jesus' time, they didn't even count women and children when they would say, well, there were 4,000 that went to this hillside talk and he fed, and 5,000 at another time. It said, plus women and children. So they didn't even count them. They didn't think they were worthy of even being counted. That's the atmosphere in which Mary Baker Eddy grew up. couldn't vote, couldn't own property. She was fighting the establishment. She was upsetting the belief of the age. This happened to every major scientist. Look at Socrates. Everyone that came up with a major thing that was against what science believed to be true, even though what they discovered was true, most of them suffered tremendously, if not murdered. Well, look at John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy planned to dismantle the CIA. He wanted to totally revolutionize the whole justice system. Not only was he assassinated, but his records have been kept under seal for all these years. That's been 60 years. No one that fights the ones who seem to be controlling the population has a smooth ride. Ronald Reagan. There was an assassination attempt on him, and he was almost fatally shot, fatally wounded. He survived, but he had to change what he was doing. He could no longer talk the truth. He could no longer do what he wanted to do. He was neutralized. Either that, or he would be assassinated again. Or, you know, again, another attempt on his life. Look at Dr. Martin Luther King. He wanted black people to have the same freedom as every other colored skin person. Man was born free, but they weren't able to practice freedom. He wanted them to have freedom. He was a good man. He was after the truth. He was after what our Constitution provides. Well, that brings us to Trump. Trump, for his whole adult life, talked about the evils of the government and how it had to be corrected. He was chosen by a select group of military people to be the leader. They examined him with an X-ray machine that no one could believe. He's been through every attack possible, and they can't find anything. And believe me, they've spent a lot of taxpayer money trying to do it. Why? He wanted to get rid of the corruption. He wanted to drain the swamp. He wanted the people to be running the country in accordance with the Constitution of America. He wanted the Constitution to be the guiding light, which it is supposed to be. Mary Baker Eddy said she could not have discovered and founded and been the leader of Christian Science in any country in the world except for America, because we had the Constitution and we had the laws that were supposed to uphold the Constitution. But of course, as soon as she left, you know, they voided the whole thing. Have you ever wondered why the Christian Science movement had thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands, of churches and a large number of Christian Science practitioners? Reading rooms all over the place. And now, where is it? Big, beautiful churches that are landmark, historic landmarks have been sold. No one's there. No one comes. An auditorium that might hold 1,000, 2,000 people has a handful of people come. They've survived for years and years and years just trying to figure out how to pay the expenses. And there's no taxes, so it's only maintenance. They can't even handle that till finally they have to sell. Why? Very simple. It's like what happens to many major corporations. There was an idea that was founding the company. And then humanity gets greedy. They reduce the service. They try to increase the profits, gouging the buyer, the user of their services, lower the quality of everything. And they have a hierarchy that just won't quit. The idea gets absorbed by the bureaucracy. How many churches are successful? Mega churches are the theme of the day. And what should a church be doing? It should be promoting what Jesus promoted, which was healing. Healing. That entire idea of healing was lost at 325 AD. Gone. Gone. That's why the Christian Science churches are a rare breed. They're non-existent. They're obsolete. Christianity sunk to its lowest point from the day that Jesus was crucified until 325 AD, and then it really hit a low point. It was on the precipice at 325 AD, and then they jumped in. Over 1,000 years of dark ages, all religion controlled by the state. No healing. They assigned sin to supposedly try to heal the people and assigned health to the medical profession, the witch doctors. That's what happened in 325 AD. They made the church a money-making proposition. They turned it into a business. In America, you have to get a business license. A business license. For a church, there's supposed to be separation of church and state according to the Constitution, but there is none. If you don't do what the business people tell you to do, they won't renew your license. You can't preach the truth, or you won't get a renewal on your license. They took away the opportunity to even celebrate Christmas. Gatherings were limited to, a few people or something. So we sunk down to a real low at the bottom of the Dark Ages, and we get Luther to come along to try to give a little light. He failed. Mary Baker Eddy came along, and we got a thrust. But what happened to healing with Jesus? It was all faith healing with Jesus. Not Jesus, but the ones that followed Jesus, the disciples. They weren't doing it through spiritual understanding. They were doing it through faith healing. Mary Baker Eddy did it through spiritual understanding. Most of them in Christian Science were doing it through faith healing. There was a big celebration at her home in Pleasant View, Concord, New Hampshire. I think it was July 4th. And she looked out on this mass. She didn't invite them. They just all decided to get together and come. They came from all over. Back in those days, you know, they had to take train to get from, you know, from wherever they were, or go by horse and buggy. And so imagine the limitation in transportation and so forth. It was, I don't remember whether it was before or after cars were invented, but in any event, it was certainly quite an ordeal to go there from a long distance. And they came from all over the U.S., probably from other countries. Something like 2,000 people showed up there. They were all out there in her yard. And she looked on the whole crowd. And I believe it was Laura Sargent. She said, I look out here. And she was so spiritual, she could tell the thoughts of the people. And she says, I look out on this crowd, and I don't see a single Christian Scientist. Imagine, what a statement. What a statement. She was talking about the fact that they were all faith healers. They weren't healing from spiritual understanding. What she thought was one of her top students, Edward Kimball, he wanted to go see the Pope. And she says, don't do it. He went anyway. When he came back, she would never let him into her house again. Wouldn't let him talk to anybody, wouldn't let him come there. No communication. She did not want the thought to be entering into her home. She didn't have a telephone because she didn't want the mesmerism that comes through the voice. Wentworth Winslow, one of the authors on our website, and his information is at the top of every page of the website. In the header. He said, think about yourself being in a room with a telephone and a radio. The radio, not a two-way radio, or a typical radio that just broadcasts. And of course, this was like 70 years or 80 years ago, he said this, maybe more than that. But it was back in the, you know, probably in, I don't know, maybe 1920 or 30. Anyway, he said, think of the telephone, of course, being duplex, where both people can talk. In fact, you can even interrupt each other because it's fully duplex. Both people can be transmitting at the same time. You know, neither one is listening to the other one. So let's suppose that a suggestion of mortal mind comes through the phone and you want to argue with it or even accept it, whatever. Say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, or no, I'm not going to do it. He says, don't even pick up the phone because that's a suggestion. Well, she didn't have a phone in her house because she knew that it was a medium of people trying to pass through mesmerism to her staff and her home. I mean, they have these phones between presidents or prime ministers, president and prime minister, you know, heads of state, the ones running the country, the number one person. And they have so many people on the line. There's no privacy. They monitor all the phone calls, not just phone calls of the heads of state, but everyone. Anything that is objecting to the old beliefs of life, truth, and intelligence in matter is a target. They've attempted many times to assassinate President Trump. He had to leave the White House, and he works out of his home. He's still draining the swamp, but he has to work out of his home. He had to get out of the limelight. Very difficult. He's not doing a very good job of it because he's the most popular guy out there. But the point is that he wants to clean up a corrupt government. And we've got at least 80 or 90, 100 million people that agree with him that want to do it, want to get it done. He couldn't be himself when he was publicly acknowledged as the president either. He would give an order. He wanted to make the documents that had been secret all these years about John F. Kennedy and the assassination and all of the things, you know, corruption everywhere. He was trying to get that all declassified and make it available to the public. He would give the order and it wouldn't happen. They were burning the cities, as everyone knows. You know, burning down federal buildings, courthouses, burning police stations, burning downtown areas of San Francisco and Portland and Seattle and Chicago and New York City, all these places. He would give an order to the military, the Coast Guard, or not Coast Guard, the National Guard, and they wouldn't go in and do it because they were all establishment. So anyone that is trying to clean up evil is facing the same thing. They're facing every form of evil you can imagine. Okay, so what is the solution? What is the solution? Well, first of all, we've got to keep in mind exactly what Mary Baker Eddy says, and that is that evil, And if one wants to read chapter 5, it says animal magnetism unmasked. Evil tries to mask its activities. It will accuse good of being evil. Whatever it is doing evil, it accuses the righteous by having those flaws. It will degrade a character. They've been trying to degrade Trump for 7 years now. They can't find anything wrong. So they keep just repeating the same old stuff. Anyone that is trying to be good out there, they attack. My gosh, look what they're doing to Putin. Putin is the only one that has opened the country to churches to come in and establish new churches. Ministers, pastors. You could start a Christian Science church there if you wanted to. He's gotten rid of the corrupt banking system. That's why they're after him. That's one of the many reasons. He's cleaning up Ukraine, which is considered by the world as being the most corrupt country in the world. The leader is an actor, professional actor. Doesn't know anything about anything except acting. So, we've got to realize, number one, that the attacks are going to be exactly what the nature of evil is, and not the nature of what our model is. They try to destroy the model. They try to destroy God. They just try to destroy anyone that wants to believe and work toward a spiritual understanding of God. So we have to recognize how it operates. How does evil operate? And that chapter 5 gives you some real good clues. There's a lot of articles and a lot of MP3s that have been offered that tell you how to recognize it and approach it and solve it. So we have to have a model, and we got to start with God. We've got to start with what the qualities of God are. Helen Wright is a genius of a writer on Christian Science. She was the founder, along with her husband, of this institute, Mary Baker Eddy Institute. And she wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed. Everything on the website is free, by the way. You're certainly invited if you want to pay, if you feel you've gained something and you want to do a payback to make a donation of any amount, very appreciated. But anyway, you can download the book free, Your Divinity Revealed, and there's a chapter on each one of the seven terms for God: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. A chapter on each one. And she did a beautiful job of explaining what those terms are. So that when you think about God as being mind or soul or life, whatever, whichever one of the seven you want to focus on first, but you will find that they all work together in a network. For example, mind represents intelligence. So if you're thinking about life, for example, which is living, then you want to think about, I want to do this in an intelligent way. Well, that's mind combining with life. Spirit, of course, is substance. So when you think of something that has value, let's suppose you need money, or you need a house, or you need a car. If you think about the object, which is visible, you are negating what Christian Science is all about and what God is all about and what Jesus was all about. What is really needed is not money, but the concept that God is the supply of everything, because everything is based on the substance of spirit, everything good is, and not matter. matter is a dance of mortal mind going around in circles, not going forward, but going around in circles. If we want to use the concept of compounding, and compounding simply means that if you have, let's say you start off and you're thinking about, okay, I've gotten up to where I have 100 spiritual thoughts. You know, you think about God as being this, that, and the other. There's seven right there, just the seven synonymous terms. And you think about all these other things that have been spiritual things. And if you increase it by 10%, you now have 110 spiritual thoughts. Well, if you have one more thought that is compounding, you're building on a foundation of 110 thoughts already. So now you're going to compound with a base, and you're going to go up based on your foundation. Think of money. That's an easy way to relate to it. You have $100 and you earn 10% by the end of a year. So now you have 110. Well, the next year, if you earn 10%, you get 11 instead of 10. So it is not a linear curve of just increasing 10 each year, but it's 10% of the previous amount, which is a larger figure. And relate that to spiritual ideas, spiritual understanding. And as you study and practice what you're studying more and more, you're increasing at a pace that is more than just a steady linear, but you're building on what you knew before. And as long as we protect ourselves so we're not sliding backwards, then we are going to be able to advance at a geometric pace. Steadiness, stability with truth, that's what we want to focus on. We need to establish what we're going to have as a model. All of the truth that is in the Bible and the writings of Mary Baker Eddy and other advanced students of Christianity, the Christ Science, give us a wonderful springboard. Beautiful things. There's wonderful music. We have it on our website, all free, where the songwriters have been Christian Scientists and they've created songs using Bible verses. Beautiful, beautiful music. And they have modern instruments. They're using piano, guitar, flute, harp. Beautiful, beautiful music. And there's also the traditional organ. We have Kenny Baker. He was one of the finest solos of all time of the traditional type music. We're supposed to be joyful. Joy is a very, very important part of progress. That music certainly does assist in one being joyful, being grateful, getting up in the morning and feeling so grateful that we are going to experience a new day. Try doing that every day. So when we think about our model, we've got to forget about personality. We need to be aware of the evil so that we can contradict that it has power. And we can't be thinking about the people. I've mentioned a few of them here just to be able to relate to you how the people with a common theme of wanting to drain the swamp, and it's been going on for a long time. Well, started with Abraham. I mean, the first recorded people of significance in the Bible. By the way, Robert Putnam, he's a PhD in chemistry, a chemist expert. He did wonderful research on the Bible. He is a very true Bible scholar. Again, his works are all free on the website, and they're on every page up at the top in the header. No matter what page you're on, you can click on the name underneath the picture. And if you, there's a little I, a lowercase I in the upper right-hand corner of a lot of our images. And if you click on any of those, or not click, just hover with your mouse, there will be a pop-up that will show you a summary. Very, very helpful. And if you click on the title under the image, that will take you to their index page. Anyway, he's the one that did the research on the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. He wrote 10 Bible lessons, and that covers the complete Bible, the important parts of everything in the Bible. It's only like 146 pages, but wow, he has anywhere from 10 to 20 or 30 or 40 Bible references with each one of those lessons. And if you follow all those references, everything is so well documented. He gives a lot of summaries, summarizing the key points that he has discussed in detail, or that are the key, or that are the a summary of the references, you know, what the main message is. Beautiful, beautiful way to study it. Another very fine writer that makes it very interesting and enjoyable. So, studying the Bible, studying Mary Baker Eddy's writings, studying the writings of other advanced students of Christian Science, that will help you have thoughts that will automatically come to you when there's a suggestion. So we can't think about this person, that person, and another person being really super corrupt. We have to be thinking about the fact that there is no person that has any power to do anything, because the only power is from God, as those four words say: omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, and omniaction. That's all from God. It's not from a person. It's from God. If we have a need, don't think about, oh gosh, I got to have a house. No, you don't need a house. You need to have the idea, you have to have the thought that whatever is a need is already known to mind. You have to get closer to God. Like Solomon, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We need to focus not on the symptom of a problem, but on the source of all solutions. The source of all solutions is what the focus has to be. That has to be the model. The symptom is not even in the picture. That's already in subconscious that we have a need. That's all we have to say. We have to state and we have to believe with conviction that there is no lack of anything that is needed, period. Rawson, another genius, he's on up there in the header. He wrote a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. There are 1,315 examples of human problems, and he gives the counterfact, which is the spiritual solution to it. And if you work with what he has researched through his spiritual inspiration, you will have amazing results. Amazing results. Nothing is easy. You've got to work toward it. Step by step, Mary Baker Eddy says. You don't take two steps up and one step back, or one step up and two step back, or take no steps and be zero, because everything is in motion. if you are at zero, you're going backwards because everything is moving forward. Mary Baker Eddy says that infinite progress is concrete being. Infinite. She says God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Incorporeal, no body involved. No, Jesus is not God. Moses was not God. Mary Baker Eddy was not God. God is incorporeal, divine, not flawed, but divine, supreme, nothing is higher, and infinite, no limit. In fact, Mr. Rawson was led through his demonstration to learn how to do retroactive treatments, where the treatment would take effect before he was even notified that there was a need. In other words, before the patient would notify him that there was a need, he had performed over 500, ever since he discovered how to do that, he performed over 500 treatments. And more beautiful than that is he left us so much of his spiritual advancement in his writings. Just like Mary Baker Eddy did. She says, you want to find me? Look in my books. You want to find Mr. Winslow? Look in his books. He has 4 books on God. Let God do it. Let God do it. You know, God can do it. God will do it. God is doing it. You know, look for him in his books. Healing treatments. Something like, I think it's 120 or 130 or 40. The book by Helen Wright, giving you very specific study for each of the 7 synonymous terms for God. She also has some information on the 4 sides of the city, which is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, which relate to the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Those 4 relate to the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. There's so much available. We are so fortunate to have all the tools. Jesus had one thing to work with, the Bible. And that was the Old Testament, of course, only. And the spiritual animus that he had. We have the opportunity to do more than Jesus did. As he said, greater works than these will be done because we have his example and we have Mary Baker Eddy's example and the writings of both of them. Well, he didn't write, but as a matter of fact, Mr. Putnam has the authoritative documents from the Bible. He refers to the various paragraphs in the Bible, verses, where it's obvious that Jesus came back after his ascension and dictated the book of Revelation to John. And as a result of John's advancement, there's no record of him ever passing on, so he obviously ascended. We have all that as our toolbox. Mary Baker Eddy didn't have all of the discovery that she did as her toolbox when she began. She had her healing from the fall on the ice from her inspiration from the Bible and Jesus. We are so fortunate. Mr. Rawson had a healing of a fellow that had a whole cart of rocks fell on top of him, and he healed him instantly. He happened to observe the accident, And he said, there's nothing but God. And he obviously said it with such conviction and understanding that it wasn't just words he was saying. And the fellow was healed instantaneously. He jumped out from underneath the pile of rocks without a scratch. There are so many wonderful things on the website that are available as tools. If you really are seeking truth, if you're really seeking a spiritual advancement so that your life doesn't have to be one in fear, like the fellow that Mary Baker Eddy entrusted to inform the public about what happened to her. If you don't live in fear like he did, but you're like Daniel, who would pray no matter who was watching him or who knew about it, he didn't fear dying, and he didn't. He didn't die as a result of the lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had faith. They were put in a furnace. As mentioned, John was in a pot of boiling oil. God is all in all. God is all there is. There is nothing but God. We must study so that we have that conviction stronger and stronger every day. We must compound today just a tiny little bit and add to what our foundation was when we got out of bed. Compound our spiritual advancement consistently. Amen.